Epilogue. Looking outward and inward to a sea of stars. We have arrived at the point in our story where history merges with the political energies of the moment. The current controversies that have use and abuse of substances as their theme must share the stage with other issues of equal import: poverty and overpopulation, environmental destruction, and unmet political expectations. These phenomena are the inevitable byproducts of the dominator culture. In struggling with these social problems, we must remember that the roots of our humanness lie elsewhere, in the cascade of mental abilities that were unleashed within our species many tens of millennia ago, the ability to name, to classify, to compare, and to remember. These functions all can be traced back to the quasi-symbiotic relationship that we enjoyed with psilocybin mushrooms in the African Partnership Society of Prehistory. Our breach of faith with a symbiotic relationship to the plant hallucinogens has made us susceptible to an ever more neurotic response to each other and the world around us. Several thousand years of such bereavement have left us the nearly psychotic inheritors of a planet festering with the toxic byproducts of scientific industrialism. If not us, who? If not now, when? It is time for us to undertake a dialogue based on an objective assessment of what our culture does and means. Another 100 years of business as usual is inconceivable. Dogma and ideology have become obsolete. Their poisonous assumptions allow us to close our eyes to our hideous destructiveness and to loot even those resources that properly belong to our children and grandchildren. Our toys do not satisfy. Our religions are no more than manias. Our political systems are a grotesque aping of what we intended them to be. How can we hope to do better? Although fears of nuclear confrontation have diminished with the recent changes in the Eastern Bloc, the world is still plagued by hunger, overpopulation, racism, sexism, and religious and political fundamentalism. We have the capacity, industrial, scientific, and financial, to change the world. The question is, do we have the capacity to change ourselves, to change our minds? I believe that the answer to this must be yes, but not without help from nature. If mere preaching of virtue could provide the answer, then we would have arrived at the threshold of angelic existence some time ago. If mere legislation of virtue were an answer, we would have learned that a long time ago. Help from nature means recognizing that the satisfaction of the religious impulse comes not from ritual, and still less from dogma, but rather from a fundamental kind of experience, the experience of symbiosis with hallucinogenic plants, and through them, symbiosis with the whole of planetary life. Radical as this proposal may appear, it has been anticipated in the work of no less a sober observer of Western culture than Arthur Koestler. Nature has let us down. God seems to have left the receiver off the hook, and time is running out. To hope for salvation to be synthesized in the laboratory may seem materialistic, crankish, or naive, but to tell the truth, there is a Jungian twist to it, for it reflects the ancient alchemist's dream to concoct the elixir vitae. What we expect from it, however, is not eternal life, nor the transformation of base metal into gold, but the transformation of Homo maniacus into Homo sapiens. When man decides to take his fate into his own hands, that possibility will be within reach. Koestler concludes from his examination of our history of institutionalized violence as a species that some form of pharmacological intervention will be necessary before we can be at peace with one another. He proceeds to make an argument for conscious and scientifically managed psychopharmacological intervention in the life of society that has grave implications for the preservation of ideals of human independence and liberty. Koestler was apparently unaware of the shamanic tradition or of the richness of the psychedelic experience. Hence, he was not aware that the task of managing a global human population into a state of balance and happiness could involve introducing the experience of an internal horizon of transcendence into people's lives. Finding the way out. Without the escape hatch into the transcendental and transpersonal realm that is provided by plant-based indole hallucinogens, the human future would be bleak indeed. We have lost the ability to be swayed by the power of myths, and our history should convince us of the fallacy of dogma. What we require is a new dimension of self-experience that individually and collectively authenticates democratic social forms and our stewardship of this small part of the larger universe. Discovery of such a dimension will mean risk and opportunity. Seeking the answer is the stance of the ingenue, the pre-initiate, and the fool. we must now have done with such posturing. It is for us to face the answer. Facing the answer means recognizing that the world we have prepared to hand on to the generations of the future is no more than a mess of broken pottage. It is not the dispossessed people of the ruined rainforest who are pathetic. It is not the stoic opium farmers of tribal Burma who menace distant hopes and populations. It is ourselves. From the grasslands to the starship. Human history has been a 15,000-year dash from the equilibrium of the African cradle to the 20th-century apotheosis of delusion, devaluation, and mass death. Now we stand on the brink of starflight, virtual reality technologies, and a revivified shamanism that heralds the abandonment of the monkey body and tribal group that has always been our context. The age of the imagination is dawning. The shamanic plants and the worlds that they reveal are the worlds from which we imagine that we came long ago, worlds of light and power and beauty that in some form or another lie behind the eschatological visions of all the world's great religions. We can claim this prodigal legacy only as quickly as we can remake our language and ourselves. Remaking our language means rejecting the image of ourselves inherited from dominator culture, that of a creature guilty of sin and hence deserving of exclusion from paradise. Paradise is our birthright and can be claimed by any one of us. Nature is not our enemy to be raped and conquered. Nature is ourselves to be cherished and explored. Shamanism has always known this, and shamanism has always, in its most authentic expressions, taught that the path required allies. These allies are the hallucinogenic plants and the mysterious teaching entities, luminous and transcendental, that reside in that nearby dimension of ecstatic beauty and understanding that we have denied until it is now nearly too late. We await ourselves within the vision. We can now move toward a new vision of ourselves and our role in nature. We are the omni-adaptable species. We are the thinkers, the makers, and the solvers of problems. These great gifts that are ours alone and which come out of the evolutionary matrix of the planet are not for us, our convenience, our satisfaction, our greater glory. They are for life. They are the special qualities that we can contribute to the great community of organic being if we are to become the caregiver, the gardener, and the mother of our mother, which is the living earth. Here there is great mystery. In the middle of the slow-moving desert of unreflecting nature, we come upon ourselves and perhaps see ourselves for the first time. We are colorful, cantankerous, and alive with hopes and dreams that, so far as we know, are unique in the universe. We have been too long asleep and shackled by the power we have ceded to the least noble parts of ourselves and the least noble among us. It is time that we stood up and faced the fact that we must and can change our minds. The long night of human history is drawing at last to its conclusion. Now the air is hushed, and the east is streaked with the rosy blush of dawn. Yet in the world we have always known, evening grows deeper, and the shadows lengthen toward a night that will know no end. One way or another, the story of the foolish monkey is nearly forever over. Our destiny is to turn without regret from what has been, to face ourselves, our parents, lovers, and children, to gather our toolkits, our animals, and the old, old dreams, so that we may move out across the visionary landscape of ever deeper understanding. Hopefully there, where we have always been most comfortable, most ourselves, we will find glory and triumph in the search for meaning in the endless life of the imagination, at play at last in the fields of an Eden refound. This concludes Food of the Gods. Please visit our website, www.tantor.com, for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers. Or call toll-free 877-7-TANTOR to request a catalog.